Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock Thursday night. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, sitting in studio with my lovely co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, and her wonderful husband, Jim, who's not quite holding up the wall, but he's almost there.
He's at the table.
I missed your show today, Bobby.
Well, you can listen to it on podcast.
I plan on doing that.
It was a great show. It was a great show.
And how is your two radio show Thursday going?
Just fine. Nothing I'd rather be doing than be on the radio in the morning and at night.
Hey, it works for me. In the morning I can listen to you, and the evening I can look at you.
I do have to say we have an amazing sunset out of this window.
We do. This is beautiful downtown Sherman Oaks.
This is gorgeous. What were you saying before? We have red sky. Like, I haven't seen red sky in a long time.
It's red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight.
So, all you sailors out there.
If you're sailing and listening to us, I'd go back to work. I asked my brother tonight. He said he'd be texting. I asked him. I said, okay, what's your honest opinion of the show? Because he listens every week. He goes, I love it. He said, I learn all kinds of stuff. Score.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Sitting in studio with us tonight is a gentleman that I've known for a while. Taught him everything he knows. You knew that was coming.
Yes.
He is a graduate of Cal State Northridge. He is with a BA in English. Mine was actually in education, so we're kind of simpatico. Worked in transportation for a lot of years. Started writing seriously in 2005 and decided to start writing stories for his grandchildren. And he's that's gradually grown into like three full novels. All of which are really, really, really good, and I've read all three. Bobby has gotten to read two of them. And I'd like to welcome to the Writer's Block, Mr. Wayne Deal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, that's enough. Thank you.
All right, settle down. You know, Wayne, because we have known each other for a while, it's always amazed me when people get into writing at such a later age in life.
You're going to say old age.
No, because I'm actually older than you are, so I'm not going to go there. But they start writing at an advanced age.
Yes.
And I often wonder, is it because you have the time to do it or the motivation to do it or both?
For me, I think it was both. I worked at FedEx and took early retirement when I was 55, and I went to work as a recruiter, as a headhunter, and that lasted about 6 months. Didn't like it. The owner, self-made guy, took me into his office and gave me a pep talk about what was going to be my legacy for my children, and I actually got emotional when he said it. And 2 weeks later, I quit. And I didn't really link it to writing, but I took 10 months off, and I took writing classes and played my drums and started writing. And it's kind of been ever since.
So you really weren't writing all along. You weren't writing as a younger person.
No. I've always kind of wanted to write. Mm-hmm. It was, I've tried a few times, and English major in college, and I've always read, and always thought I'd like to do it, but never really did it. And then when my grandson's 8 years old, and when he was born, I thought, well, here's an opportunity. And it really is the only thing that made me finish something, because I had a goal to finish it and a reason to finish it. And it kind of scared my daughter when I started writing it, because, I have my grandson kidnapped from the hospital, and they lose him. At first, I had him being kidnapped from Trader Joe's, and she was horrified because she said, that would be my fault, and you cannot do that.
Yeah.
And so then, I had to change it. And at the hospital.
And the a newborn, no less.
And the book that Wayne is talking about in this particular instance is The Boy with No Name.
Yes.
It's fabulous.
It is.
I really was a page turner for me. And
thank you.
It really truly
I really
is.
Wanted to know, you know, how everything was going to work out. And was it going to work out? And you really keep us in suspense through. Yeah.
We keep rolling us into different scenarios. And it's kind of fun to see the journey from the locked up closet.
Yeah.
Into the trailer park and all the way through the mountains and and finally meeting the mayor of the town and then finding out that the mayor of the town is friends with his parents and spoiler alert.
That's right. I forgot about that part.
Well, no, it's really good. And you had, I do enjoy some of how you also name your characters. You've got Sniff Bowser, you know.
I love that.
You know, some of them have very kind of normal names, but we clearly kind of have the good guys and the bad guys.
Right.
And the bad guys definitely have the upper hand.
Right.
And
they certainly do.
Our young man who really just wants to know what his name is.
Buddy.
And he has a variety of names. Tell us a little bit about, you know, he starts out with a Jack Davis. You know, the parents haven't decided what to name him before
right.
he's born. So he has a bunch of names. We got Jack Davis and Boy and Buddy and Brave Wolf.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And this is really
it's
a book
pretty
of...
pretty sad when you forget your own book.
It is.
This is really a book
that's
of
good
discovery.
Stuff.
Well, you know, Wayne, what I felt as I read this book was we have a very almost movie of the week kind of very, you know, tough situation with this young man and how he's in a sort of foster care situation. And we got really bad people all around him, but he's a really good kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he breaks out and goes on the run,
right.
I almost felt like we suddenly left one world and we entered another, even though that world is still following him. But I almost felt like I was with Odysseus on the Odyssey, or I was, you know, I was now suddenly entering this world where now he meets these different people.
Right, these different characters.
That help him on his journey.
Well, yes,
him.
But that's what they're there for, and he's there at that time.
And the grandfather is the one that pushes him.
Mm-hmm. The old man.
The old man who's in his dream.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has to go help the woman he hears.
Yes. Why haven't you found her?
The reoccurring, yes. What's the reoccurring dream that he has from when he's very young?
He hears her crying.
Right.
He,
the crying.
And a woman sobbing.
A woman sobbing, and he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
And in his dreams, the old man tells him it's up to him. He's got to go. And so he does, and then good things happen to him once he gets away.
Right.
Yeah, he steps out on faith, really. Yeah. I mean, he really says that he has that, you call it the final humiliation, where he's like, that's it, I'm done here.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. I was amazed. The passage is where you first meet Stephen Ray. And that's his that's his invisible buddy.
Which I had a invisible friend. Stephen Wayne was his name.
Was that right?
Maybe I don't want to talk about that.
Well,
I think that's important.
The epiphany came at the end of the book for me when I all of a sudden discovered that the Stevie Ray that was visiting him when he was miserable and 12 years old, locked in a closet, is the Stevie Ray that is his son at an older age. I assume I got that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very cool how, you know, he does kind of tie everything up. But along the way, you know, he meets Pastor Dave. He meets a homeless man.
Right.
He was the first.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has great compassion. I mean, he doesn't really have a stereotype of what a home, you know, he just meets these people. And he's so innocent or naive that he doesn't have any sort of preconceived notions. They're just out there like he is. You know?
I like the homeless guy's comment. Well, nobody here has a name.
Right.
So you can have my name.
Yeah. He's willing to give him. Yeah. He goes, but I want my own name.
And the pastor is good-hearted and wants to do the right thing, but he turns him in.
Yeah.
And then he's going to keep running.
And then there's the two youngsters and their dad that are in the RV camper.
Right.
And she gives them the St. Christopher Medal.
Right.
How did you come up with Gray Eagle? How did you decide, you know?
You know, the interesting thing I found once I started writing the story is things come to you.
Okay.
You know, you don't really know what they are. I've really interested and read a lot about Native Americans, and I got interested in Crazy Horse, and so I, for some reason, he just came into the story, and I went with it.
Well, and I kind of actually had that as I wondered as I was reading, as we move kind of from the one world sort of into the second world, and it's so kind of black and white, that first world. Almost felt like we'd crossed a poppy field and gotten to Oz. You know, we've moved from this one world to the next, and I thought, I wonder if this author had planned that all along, or had he kind of planned a black and white to the end where it was going to have a good resolution, and then something happened, because it really feels like we've moved into a different world.
I knew I wanted, I mean, obviously I wanted a journey to find himself, and it had to go from one world to another, and you know, I did have that in mind when I was writing it.
Oh, the food tastes better, and you know, he's warm, and he's, you know, all of those.
Oh, absolutely, it's much better than crackers and peanut butter.
All those things that he was deprived of for so long along the journey, they get better and better. They get.
Let me take a minute here and make a little money. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing and Out West
Boutique
and Cultural Center. Man, that one popped. I can feel it.
Out West is just fine.
Out West Boutique and Cultural Center. And Jim, you can go ahead and smirk. And if you want to call and talk to Wayne, you want to talk to me, talk to Jim, talk to Bobby, the number here is 818-602-4929. That number, again, is 818-602-4929. And I just want to throw in real briefly, I think I picked up another sponsor.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Not sure. I've got to send him all the information, but I think we picked up another sponsor. So that's
excellent.
That's excellent. Excellent. So anyway, back to what you were saying. You don't remember now.
What?
We were talking about characters, and she felt warm and good because he had warm food. And
yeah, the whole, you know, his whole journey, life is getting better as he moves through.
And when I was writing it, the people that he meets, other than Gray Eagle, they're family members. Mm-hmm. They were the boy in the mountain, mm-hmm. who's my son. There's three sisters that I'll talk and say. There's three nieces that I have. Of course, my daughter and my son-in-law and me.
So
the grandpa.
Are you the grandpa?
You're the grandpa.
The hero.
So so there's Mayor Franklin and his wife, Queen Kathleen.
Well, Frank is my son-in-law.
Okay.
Katie is my daughter.
Okay.
I think they're listening in Hawaii right now.
Are they really?
Traveling the
well,
world.
If you're listening, welcome.
Yes.
But
we'll
Sean,
try not to screw this up.
Sean and Stacy are Owen's folks.
Yeah, and their real names are John and Tracy.
Oh, got
not
it.
Sean and Stacy.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I'm so confused.
You think you are.
I know. It's got to be rough for you, too.
Well, in the very first page of the book, when you first open it, you have from the ancient book of names, Owen, brave young warrior, and I'm assuming you have a grandson, Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I used his name, his real name. Because my intention, mm-hmm. when I started this, I was going to write a little book that when he's 3 or 4 years old, he'd sit on my lap and we'd learn how to read.
Oh.
And it's a funny story about how he got his name, and that came out.
Isn't
so,
that great?
It was great. And it's kind of happened in one way or another with the other two books. I'm writing a fourth, and I keep waiting for it to happen, and it hasn't yet. So,
I know
for
about
better
this
or
book.
For worse, it's what happens, you know, when you really get
right,
going and
right, yeah. right. This book is, he's writing now, or when he finally starts it, is going to be fascinating. You want to tell a little bit about what
well,
it's going
it's
to be?
It's about, you know, it's all my motivation. Like I said, is family and Frank and Katie. You know, I've got Irish background. Frank is Mexican background. So I wanted to do a story somewhere with Irish and Mexicans. And I thought, well, how am I going to do that? Turns out there's all kinds of history between Mexico and Ireland. But in the Mexican-American War, hundreds, I can't remember exactly how many, Irish immigrants came over because of the famine, mm-hmm. went into the army, mm-hmm. and were kind of pressed into service. They enlisted. And a whole bunch of them deserted, and they didn't just desert. They formed a unit, the St. Patrick's Battalion,
right.
under this guy, John Riley, who had been a British officer but was a private in the Army. And there was a nativist movement in America, Protestants against Catholics, and there was horrific persecution in the army. So hundreds of these guys deserted. They swam across the Rio Grande River.
Mm-hmm. But they were very poorly treated in the army.
Oh, they were. It was.
They were like slaves.
They were maybe worse than slaves. You had to take care of a slave because you needed him to produce.
Well, he was worth something, yeah.
Yeah. These guys were treated like garbage. Mm. They bucked and gagged them with some torture where they put a wood between them and tied them up and poured water in their mouth. And
wow.
So, wow. But I am struggling with having my main character be a deserter. I'm having a hard time with that. And so my character so far, I think I'm going to have two. My grandson, his name is Nixon Francisco Salinas. His dad and his grandfather are Francisco Salinas. So I want a character, Francisco Salinas, in Mexico to meet up with Patrick Ryan from Ireland. Now, that's all I got so far. So
that's pretty good.
I got a long way to go.
Something on paper?
Yeah.
Well, no, I got a lot of, I have a lot of stuff on paper.
Yeah.
None of it worth much, but, I'm just trying to put it together. 50 of these deserters were hanged, 30 at one time, 25 at another,
right,
by this guy named Harney, who has a peak in South Dakota named after him. This guy's a real...
He was a general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Indians call him Squaw Killer Harney. I'm not going to say why they call him that because I think my children are listening.
He killed squaws?
After he...
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The visual is there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, so there's so much horror, which isn't really what I want to tell. I think I want to talk about loyalty and being loyal to what and what makes somebody desert the U.S. Army.
Well, it's funny you should say that you don't want your book to be about a deserter because I think we were talking in the green room that I'm now working on a book, and I threw a character in. His name is Kieran O'Connor.
Yes.
He's an Irish.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, Mary, Mother of
Can
God.
I say that? No.
he deserted from the British Army, but he deserted in Africa.
Well, that's okay to desert from the British Army.
And he ran because the Zulus attacked his detachment.
Yes.
He said there was 100 souls there, and they killed 99. I lived, and that's because I ran when they attacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and desertion, I really want the story to be about loyalty, I think. And what are you loyal to? I mean, religion was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, these guys are the Irishmen. Are part of attacking a Catholic country where they're bombing churches.
Mm-hmm.
So that had to weigh heavily on them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's a lot there. And like I told you, I'm traveling down to that.
Yes, you are. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's going to be a great story. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Wayne is from Philadelphia. And he had a relative, I believe.
Five of them.
That were that you wrote about in this book, Midnight Ride of what's her name?
Missy Montaigne.
And Layla Ray and her brother are the main characters.
Uh-huh.
And tell us a little bit about the story, because I found it fascinating when I read it.
Layla is my granddaughter. She's my second grandchild.
Right.
I needed to write a book for her since I wrote one for Owen. And I had a cousin. My dad's cousin wanted to join the Daughters of the American Revolution. This is back in the 80s. And you have to prove you had a relation that fought in the Revolutionary War. So she did a genealogy chart. And according to this, we have like five relatives, one of whom was a courier for George Washington named Benjamin, I think it was Montagne. So I'm kind of looking for a story, and I'm revisiting this genealogy chart, and I see Benjamin Montagne, and my daughter, Katie, and her friends, when they talk to each other, they call each other Miss and Missy, especially after a glass of wine. You can't do that, Miss. So I'm thinking Miss, Missy, and Missy Montaigne came to my mind. And so the title came, The Midnight Ride of Missy Montaigne. And I went from that to writing the story. And Benjamin is a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Amos Addis is a real person. These are relatives.
Mm-hmm.
But I just put them in the story and... it was 1778, the year the British occupied Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And the history in there, I'm pretty solid on. They had that ball, the Miskianza. There was a jailbreak that night. And so I put John Johnson Davis, another relative, as a POW, and she had to
help him escape. Right, yeah.
And while she's at the ball.
She's like, what, 15 years old?
She's 18.
18, yeah.
The story starts in the present, and yeah. Layla's like 14, right. I think. And then she discovers a book that her ancestor wrote and then gets kind of transported back into that time, and then the story takes over. So I think I want this next book to be more – that's a historical novel.
Yeah.
That's really what I want to write next time.
And then as a bonus prize tonight, Bobby, you get to take this book home with you.
I know. I really want to read it.
So you'll find one under your chair after the show.
I had really enjoyed the first two. And when I found that one online trying to do some research about Wayne, I was like, wait, I didn't get to read that one.
So motivating you is pleasing your family more than anything.
I think it's really – it gets back to this legacy thing that – because when he mentioned that to me, I knew I wasn't going to have a financial legacy. So I want to leave something behind. I want them to, you know, have something from me. And, you know, maybe a great-grandchild might pick it up someday and read it and go, man, I wish he'd have left me some money.
Yeah. God, he had to have made $1 million off this book.
A book?
And the film rights.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw that that there was this connection with the grandchildren, I kind of assumed that perhaps you like to gather them together and, you know, tell the stories orally, and then as kids do, you know, tell me that one again. Yeah. And eventually, you know, you write them down. But when we were chatting a little bit ago, you shared that that's not quite how they have come about, that you're more comfortable with the written word.
I am. Now, the Snackaholics,
which is a great title, incidentally. And a great book.
Look at this face.
That's my granddaughter. Like, she is the Snackaholic, too. But that's just started as telling them a story, like around the campfire.
Yeah.
And Layla, bless her heart, kept just, you know, beating me up. When's it going to be finished?
Next?
When's it going to be finished? Yeah. When's it going to be finished? And
I want these snacks.
They do bad things to you.
Oh, I know. But, oh, the way
such
you...
Such wonderful bad
the
things.
The way you describe these snacks.
Oh, you did. Yeah, you really did.
You really...
Makes you hungry.
Yeah, you really do. But, yes, what... we talk about Snackaholics for a few moments?
Absolutely.
This is just such a riveting book. It's sort of like Candyland gone on way too much sugar. and you have such a cast of characters in Snackaholics. There must be a little bit of a story behind sort of where, you know, where you got the concept for this book.
Yeah, you know, truly, Brooke is on the cover there, and she's not that bad anymore, but she was when she was just persistent, just snack.
A refrain of snacks.
And snacks. And it was like, oh, you know. And so I just started telling a little story about it. And like the other ones, it just kind of, they just started showing up.
It's so great. And Layla is so excited that the neighbors are moving in.
Yes.
And every kid knows what that's like, you know, waiting to see if there's going to be
kids
next door. And she can't wait to go and meet them. And what happens when she goes next door?
Well, they are not nice people. They're sent here by from Sweetsylvania and the Candyman to recruit. And they eat a cupcake, and they spiral down, and next thing you know, they're on the way to Sweetsylvania, and they can't get back.
Right.
And Layla understands right away that, hey, they got to get out of here.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
And Owen's going, wait a minute. These are good stuff.
Crap here.
This is Owen that we've met
in
Boy With No Name. So, yes.
And so they have to, the snacks are like, you know, I guess they're like drugs, you know. They're little by little, they have a hard time not taking them. So, and then they meet people along the way to help them, and they get away. The interesting thing to me, when I write these, I know they're for my grandchildren, but kind of write them for a 12, 13, 14-year-old. That's what I'm in my mind, thinking that they would read them later on. And Owen is 8. He just turned 8. He just finished The Snackaholics on his own. And Layla, we read it to him, most of it, and we just finished it. And the only validation I ever really need anymore, I'm reading it to Layla one day, and she says, "Grandpa," and she taps her forehead with her finger right here. "I can see it."
Uh-huh.
Right here.
It's. Oh.
And I thought, you know what?
Yep.
That's why I'm doing it.
These would be great books to read aloud.
Absolutely. They'd be great books to read to kids.
Yeah. And well, I think adults, a couple of years ago, we did one evening at Out West. We read aloud some wonderful Western stories from an anthology. And it was all adults that were sitting in the audience. And I looked around and lots of people kind of had their eyes closed. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, we have bored people. No. I had so many folks that came up to us after and said, "I haven't been read to in so long." And I just closed my eyes because I just wanted to focus on the words. And your words, your descriptions are so terrific. And listen to the – we got bad guys. We got bad guys. We got Dip, Chip, and Chewy, the sugar daddies. The really, really, really bad guy is Candyman. And his second in command is Jelly Roll Jones. And we got good guys besides Layla Owen and Brookie. And we got Princess Vega. And she's, of course, we learn about them in real life. But we have Spearmint, also known as the Kid. General Broccoli.
When the kids finally got that, they thought that was pretty funny.
That's so great.
That was for them.
And you also have wonderful descriptions of places. Blueberry Hill and Harvest Valley and Sweetsylvania is not where you want to go.
No.
Pumpernickel Pass, the farmhouse, and the cave. You just you have set really this wonderful world. And there's trains and there's roads. And, you know, you feel at the moment like you're in a mm-hmm. reality.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know you're in an alternate reality.
Yeah, it's kind of like you feel like you just rolled down into Candyland from hell.
Yeah.
You did.
Like, how do we get out of here?
We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to have Mr. Deal read something from one of his 3 books.
Great.
So, hang tough. We'll be back in 2 and 2 is, what's his name used to say? Chuck Woolery. And we're back. And if you're just now joining us, we're in the studio tonight with Wayne Deal, the author of 3 wonderful, charming, charming books, The Boy with No Name, The Snackaholics, and The Midnight Ride of Missy Montaigne. And I see we have somebody on the line. So hang on just a second.
A heckler.
Hi, you're on what are we doing here? The Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, I am?
You are?
No, I'm listening to it. Oh, I was heckling Wayne.
Oh, well, turn your radio down.
Oh, turn it down?
Yeah, so you can't hear an echo.
Okay. Here we go.
Is that better?
Yep.
Okay.
Is that better?
Okay. Who am I speaking to?
Is this Stephanie?
This is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
A heckler.
A heckler.
So, yes, I'm heckling.
Okay, well, please feel free.
I wanted to say about The Snackaholics, because I love that book, and I keep telling Wayne that it needs to be made into a movie or a cartoon or something, and the way that you were all saying that it was so descriptive and you could see it and be in the reality of it, it would make such a great cartoon, wouldn't it?
I think it could be a board game. You know?
Yeah. You know. Candyland from Hell.
Yeah.
Candyland from Hell. Actually, it'd probably be a great movie for the Hallmark Channel.
yeah. I agree with you, though. I think that it has a great potential to have all kinds of lives. It's a terrific story.
We did, too. I loved all three books.
And I ate the whole time I was reading it. I just had to keep going to the kitchen, yeah, you know, popcorn and
really
potato chips and, you know.
Oh, so you became a snackaholic while you were reading the snackaholic.
No, she's always been a snackaholic.
I am.
She just fell off the wagon.
I think we all are, too.
I think we all are, too. Except Jim over there. Well, he gave up snacks.
He did.
Yeah,
he
snacks.
Well, he eats radishes now. So snacks on radishes. And yeah, he does the things that they serve in the farmhouse.
Sorry.
It's things that Granny serves in the farmhouse. Those are the things that
he needs to be chocolate covered.
That's right. And you want to tell us who Stephanie is?
Stephanie is the world's greatest massage therapist.
Really?
Yes. She is. Healing Hands.
Okay.
And she's a friend.
Okay.
Yes.
We're not going to go any further.
No, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, we're so glad that you called.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, that is so fun.
And now you can turn your radio back up. Do you want to say something else?
This morning, Wayne reminded everybody about this show.
On Facebook?
Invited anybody to heckle.
On my page.
So I decided at that point in time that I was
going to
call and heckle.
Well, I'm glad that you did because, you know, we get very, very few hecklers. Actually, we've gotten a heckler the last four shows.
You could be the regular heckler.
We must be doing something right.
I should give out the phone number more often, I guess, huh?
Well, thank you, Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie, thanks for calling in.
Oh, sure.
And have a wonderful rest of your evening, and I hope you stay on the line with us. Well, not on the line, but on the radio.
I'm going to go put it back on now.
Perfect. Thanks for calling. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Wow, that was kind of cool.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
So we need to ask Wayne.
Yes.
The question.
The question. Oh, yes. Mr. Deal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You stated earlier that...
Mr. Deal.
That you were having problems getting this book started.
Yes.
Would this be your writer's block?
Oh.
Well, you notice how we segue into that.
I thought that's why I was here, isn't it?
Well,
pretty
much.
It's like therapy or something.
It is.
It gives you another hour of procrastination,
yes.
Legitimate procrastination.
Much like your massage therapist, we give you therapy, just not touch therapy.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it's a great question. How do you deal? Do you get it, and how do you deal with it?
Yeah, I think I have it all the time, actually. I start and stop a lot of things. I get going on a story, and then I'll look at it and go, you know, this isn't it. I've been trying to write about Crazy Horse for probably 7 years. I've got a tub full of books, things that I've written. When I get stuck, I go to research, and I convince myself that that's writing, and it's a part of the process. But eventually... You can only do so much research, and you really got to get down to it. And like we talked before, the story doesn't really start showing up until you sit down and start writing
it.
So I don't know if I have a way to get around it, but I also I'll start reading books about writing, screenwriting, novel writing. There's a great book called Stealing Fire from the Gods with James Bonnet. It's all about story, what makes up story. And stories are very powerful. You know, we're talking about my grandchildren. Nothing excites them more than telling them a story about themselves. I've had them sit on my lap, and they just, like, crawl out of their skin when their name is mentioned in a story.
I believe we have another call.
Oh.
I'm telling you. Whoops. Missed.
Call back.
But it's a constant thing.
There it is. 501-1183. Do you know that one? <It's> just... Hi, here on the writer's block. Who am I speaking to? Hello?
Well, maybe not.
Well, I guess you're really not on the writer's block.
I could call him back.
Yeah. Hello? Okay.
Okay. We'll call back.
Take this opportunity to maybe sell a little more product.
There you go.
Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, California. And the number to call here is 818-602-4929. And if you want to talk to the fascinating Wayne Deal, and he has proven to be fascinating beyond belief tonight, it is 818-602-4929. And let's see who's here. Hi, this is the Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to?
Layla.
Oh, Layla. Layla Ray. Oh. What are you doing?
We're talking about you.
Aloha.
Oh, is that Nixon? Are you guys in the pool?
Why are they in Hawaii?
No. They're in Hawaii. They're calling from Hawaii.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
We have callers from Hawaii.
Layla, we love reading about you.
We do.
Say thank you.
Nothing.
We have said nothing but nice things.
That's right.
No.
All right.
There's a beautiful ocean here.
Oh, well, that's good.
Oh. It's not about us, Layla.
It's not about you. Well, have fun.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, bye, sweetie. Thank you.
Grandpa.
Bye, bye. Love
Thanks
you.
Thanks for calling, Layla.
Aloha.
I love you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Love you. Aloha.
I hope you're having good snacks there.
I'm sure they are.
I bet they are.
Oh, they hung up on me.
That's fun. Oh, that's fun. So you were, we also did want you to read. I know we were going to come back and have him read, and we got right into writer's block.
We still want to do that.
Yeah.
So why don't you find a passage, and I'll get comfortable in my chair.
Yeah.
And you can go for it.
I picked this passage. Now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't have, but a little background. The character here, Cadwalder, killed Missy's grandfather and attempted to rape her before he was interrupted.
Right, it was at the barn.
Exactly, at the barn. Yeah. And he stole her horse at that time.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So now it's back and they have met up again and she's got her horse and he's chasing her and catches her. So his name's Cadwalder. Cadwalder was on them too quickly. He blocked their way and managed to grab the reins from Missy with one hand while brandishing his sword with the other. "Dismount now, you little whore," he said. "We have some unfinished business, you and I." Missy struggled with the reins, trying to break free. "If you don't get off my horse immediately, I will run the saber through his neck," said Cadwalder. "No, please no," said Missy. "I will do as you say." She dismounted. Cadwalder sneered in satisfaction. He got off his mount and tied both horses to the nearest tree. As he did so, Missy reached into the knapsack and gripped the pistol. "Lord, give me strength." Cadwalder sheathed his sword and began to unbutton his jacket as he walked towards her. He had the exact same look on his face as when he turned and walked towards Grandfather. Missy's body went cold with hatred. It calmed her and made everything move in slow motion. She pulled out the pistol. Seeing the gun, his expression changed from surprise to condescending humor, and he let out a short laugh. He was about to say something when Missy pulled the trigger and fired point blank into his repulsive face.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, settle down. We'll be here all
That's
week.
Not quite Snackaholics, I know.
Now,
but
now, may I read a very short passage from Snackaholics?
Sure.
Okay, this is early on in Snackaholics. Snack. Spencer took one, and the others did the same. Layla was mesmerized, but not afraid. She couldn't have stopped or left to go home, even if she wanted to. They all took a bite at the same time. The cake, the icing, and even the sprinkles were the most wonderful flavors she had ever tasted. It was so good that Layla didn't notice that the table and all four of them started to spin. The spinning increased so rapidly that everything became a blur. Now Layla was scared. She tried to scream Owen's name, but no sound came out of her mouth.
Well, it sounds way better when you read it up there.
Settle down in there. I need more outbursts in this studio when I send you all home.
I think that's more applause I've ever heard on your show before.
That's the only applause you've ever heard.
That's the reason, I guess.
We did it just for you.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to have them keep it for us. It works out pretty good.
Oh, this is really fun.
It is fun.
You did talk a little bit about your next project, and you also shared a little bit about the way that you do your research. Do you have any advice for writers?
As a friend of mine who told his father when he was about 14 years old that he wanted to be a poet and he wanted to write, his father said, well, just sit your ass down and write.
That's it.
And, you know, it's a silly, simple, but if you don't just sit down and do it, I mean, it's never going to even do all the research in the world. And
Right.
So I guess that's the advice I give myself when I'm sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people that ask me to. Just write it. It doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
Just write it.
Because you got to rewrite it anyway.
Yeah, somebody can fix it. I mean, you know, everything that's been written has been fixed many times. So just write it. Tell your story.
What do you like to read? Are there favorite authors that you enjoy reading?
Well, Jim Christina, of course. Except, you know, he doesn't treat
the Deal family
real well in his books. But other than that, I do like it. Right now I'm reading a lot of history. I love David Halberstam. He wrote probably the definitive book on Vietnam, The Best and the Brightest. He's written a lot of sports stories as well. I read from the time I can remember, I've been reading from the Hardy Boys to Kill a Mockingbird to started reading The Black Stallion and all those books as a kid. And then, Hemingway, Steinbeck, Dickens, all those guys. And just whatever. I think I like probably a historical novel is probably my favorite.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there.
I'm in a book club, and we read all kinds of different things. So,
well, guess what?
Another heckler?
Bookie's calling.
Oh, yay.
Hey, Bookie.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Wayne. Hi, Bobby. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Yes, he got his pie.
Thank you.
Oh, good. I've been sitting on pins and needles.
My wife sent Wayne a frozen lemon meringue pie that we threatened to thaw out and eat in the studio
tonight. Eat while we were here because it was a perfect snack.
You
know, Jerry, my mother used to make me lemon meringue pies every year for my birthday, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It's been a long time coming, Wayne. I know I promised.
Okay, well, yes.
So I thought, what better time?
You've set the record for phone calls in one evening.
Yeah. Hey,
Wayne's
good.
The clear winner.
I'm glad.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just called in because, like I said, I'm sitting on pins and needles waiting for you to talk about this pie after talking about snacks.
Yes.
And I just want to tell Wayne how much I enjoy his books, and I love him, and
Thank you. He's welcome
here anytime, and good show.
Be careful how you say that because he's want to get fed.
Yes,
and water.
Hey, you know, I can open a box any night.
Yeah, that's true. You can. You're very good at that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We really want to publicly thank you for all you do with the schedule and keeping in touch with all of our guests. It's a huge job. We really, really thank you.
And I'm glad you do
you.
It, not me.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely.
Anyway, have a good night. And Wayne?
Yes.
Talk to you later.
Thanks,
Jerry. And see you at home, honey. And
all right.
Bobby Jean, get some sleep.
I'll call you on my way home.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's three.
Yes, yes.
That sets the record.
Oh,
no. Guess what?
Another call?
The record will never be broken now.
Wow.
Hi, this is the Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to? Hello? Hello? Oh.
Gone.
Okay.
Gone.
Does that count?
It's for 505 area code. Who do you know in New Mexico?
Nobody.
Gee, interesting. Where can people get your books or find out what you've got going on or if you have any book signings coming up? How do we find you?
Well, I am on Facebook. It's my name, Wayne Deal. And I started a web page, but I think I have writer's block on my web page. I got
a web block.
I got a web block. Can you help me with that?
I don't know.
It's thedalailama.com.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
I'm the Dalai Lama.
That's cute.
But there's nothing on it. It's just I have the name and the domain name, and I just had a vision of a place where
a
people could share writing
ropes?
And no. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That could be included, though.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a work in progress.
Okay.
But basically, Facebook.
Yeah. And
email.
Email. Yeah.
Wango750@yahoo.com.
Wango750@yahoo.com.
And your books are for sale. Two of them are for sale.
Right. On Amazon. And I will get The Boy with No Name on Amazon.
Well, otherwise, you could sell them through your website website or through your email address
Well, that's true.
Yeah. If people have PayPal and you get PayPal, you can buy them right directly from
See,
you.
See, I knew I was here for a reason. Thank you.
You know, I just...
Well,
I just,
you know, and out west, we know lots about merchandise and how to...
Well, and Jim did... we talked about it earlier, but the first book was on that other site that really wasn't designed for the written word. It was more for pictures. So he turned me on to CreateSpace, which is really...
that's what we did, Missy Montana.
Yeah, for self-publishing. I mean, it's really...
They do a wonderful job.
Really good.
I'm very thrilled with them.
And do you prefer the paper versus electronic reading when you're reading a book?
I do. I do. Although I did get a Kindle. I went to Ireland. And
I remember. Talked to you when you were there.
And yes, right, you called me. And so I got the Kindle because you can have 100 books on that thing. So I have started to use that a lot more. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I much prefer.
But do you know the amazing part about it is most of the writers we talk to, almost all of them have said they prefer the hard book over the Kindle version, over the electronic version. And I find that – I think it's kind of because of the genre and they put all this work into it. And you lose something in the translation.
I think that's, you know, I have to remember to recharge it, and I want to read. It's I see that there are still certain times when, you know, being on a plane or whatever, certain times the electronic
comes in handy.
Makes it very handy, but I still like to have it.
You know,
it
it's like comfort food or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just like snacks.
Yeah.
Only good for you.
Well, it's like,
maybe.
It's like a rainy day. Like, Bobby Jean did the foreword to The Dark Angel. It's like a rainy day with a glass of wine or a cup of coffee, and you sit down and you pick up a book and you read it from cover to cover.
Yeah.
Then you write a foreword for it.
And you don't sleep.
And she did a great job.
And then you don't sleep because of the subject matter. Keeps you up.
Well, this new one's a little bit weird, too. So. But we've enjoyed having you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it. I really appreciate it.
It's been a fun night.
It's really kind of fun.
Is it over?
Really, well, almost.
Just about.
Wow. Yeah. About a minute out.
Yeah. It's all done but taking the final pictures.
And
eating the lemon meringue pie.
And eating the lemon meringue pie, if it's still in the green room.
And I would to just take a moment and say thank you to all of our listeners and all of you that have liked us on Facebook. We're just a little bit away from 500 likes.
Yeah, a little shy.
And we would really encourage you to use our Facebook page. You can post there. And I'd love to see it become a dialogue between readers and writers. And if you have a book event coming up, you're a bookstore, you've got something happening, you know, post it on the Writer's Block Facebook page. We'd really like to see conversation and dialogue going on there. So I would encourage you to kind of make it a place for communication between writers and readers.
And with that said, wish you a happy week. Wayne, thank you again for being in.
Thank
Bobby
you.
Jean, always a pleasure. Jim, great seeing you, as always. And as C. Courtney Joyner told us last week, fight hard and write hard. There we go.
Fight on and write on.